when you understand that everything you have comes from him, when you appreciate and you have a heart of gratitude for the grace of God, the salvation that he's given, the forgiveness of sins, when you appreciate that, you're willing to put your life on the line for him.
Planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour. When you decide to take a stand for God and go against the grain of mainstream norms, the world might label you a fanatic, an extremist, and maybe even a fool. Today's passage will encourage you to wear the badge, A Fool for God, with honor.
Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word, Lord, and we recognize that you communicate to us and that it's good for our instruction and exhortation and, Lord, to teach us how to walk in righteousness. And so we pray that you'd give us understanding even now, and we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we live in a world where following Jesus is presented as a road to an easy life. We live in a culture and a society where getting a relationship with God will bring good health and lots of money, and everybody will be happy and no problems. Where God grants your every prayer, and there are a lot of Christians who feel as though the Lord is going to be your little rabbit foot, you know, that you can stroke in prayer and he'll just provide everything that you want. Contrary to what so many are saying, however, the Bible tells us that following Jesus is a difficult and humbling journey. And Jesus told his disciples that if you follow him, remember that foxes have holes and what? Birds have nests. That's right. But following him means that he's going to take you sometimes through places where there's nowhere to lay your head. And so we need to remember that if we commit ourselves to this journey of being with Jesus and following him, that it is going to be a humbling experience. Take a look at verse 6. And I want you to see in verse 6 that Jesus says following him won't puff you up. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote here, that it's not going to be something that lifts up your pride. If anything, it's going to be a humbling experience. He says, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to you myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. And so I want to suggest to you that following Jesus is not going to puff you up. It's not going to even make you look good. It's going to be a humbling experience. And one of the ways that we get puffed up with pride is when we compare ourselves to other people. Am I right about it? We love to compare ourselves to other people because I'm better than that person. I don't do what the other person does. And we end up with an opinion of ourselves that's okay because we're not like some of the other people. We especially like to compare ourselves to those who are less fortunate than we are. Those who have gotten themselves into situations that maybe we haven't gotten into yet. And pride is a symptom of that sin virus, and I've talked many times about that sin virus that we have. All of us are born with that sin virus. We are born with that principle of sin. That I got mine from my father, and he got his from his father, and it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden. And that sin virus, we've all inherited it. As a matter of fact, we are all born with it. Are you with me? Because you are not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're born a sinner. And we're born with this virus, this tendency, it's selfishness. It is that virus, the symptom of it is selfishness. And a subset of that selfishness is pride. And so we need to remember that one of the things that we need to fight is this tendency toward pride. The text is telling us, however, a little bit of how you can help yourself in this environment. And he says, don't think of yourself beyond what is written. That's what verse 6 says. Don't think of yourself beyond what is written. You see, what the Bible says about us is what we need to remember. We need to understand what God's word says about us, not what our personal opinion is, but what does God say? And what the Bible tells us is that God loves us. He loves every one of us, no matter high society, low society, high education, low education, whether you've gotten in trouble or not, God loves all of us. God loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. Isn't that the verse that we just finished quoting? He loves us. And no matter how hard life gets, no matter the pain that we live in this world, in this sin-cursed world, regardless of your bank balance or lack of it, or your social status, I need you to understand that God loves you, that he cares about you. And so you don't have to puff yourself up to earn God's love. He already loves you. He already cares about you. And so we need to go back to the word of God and understand how he speaks about us. And we need to go back and study what the Bible says. The Bible tells us a number of things, and I'm not going to list them all, but a few. He says that we are his workmanship, that he created us in his image. We are children of promise, and so we have hope in this life. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are chosen and adopted into the family of God. We're built on the foundation of Jesus. We're saved by his grace. We're forgiven of all of our sins. We are members, I'm talking about believers now, we are members of a royal priesthood. Now, you can't get any more high society than that. And so you don't have to puff yourself up. You don't have to jack up your opinion of yourself based on somebody else. God already loves you. He already cares about you. He already has a position waiting for you. And so, as I said last week in the paragraph right before this, it is a small thing what others say about you. I mean, we should pay some attention to what others have to say, but it's a small thing, the Apostle Paul says. It's a small thing what others say about you. What is important to remember is what God says about you, what his word says about you. And so that's what is written in the word. Don't go beyond what is written in the Bible. But the Bible, when it's written to us, also gives us an eternal perspective. It helps us to see beyond the day-to-day issues of life, the struggles that we go through every day. It helps us to see beyond that. It gives us promise for eternity, not just a promise to meet our needs here and now, but a promise for eternity. And what is written prescribes what I like to call spiritual binoculars. Anybody here ever heard me talk about spiritual binoculars? Mm-hmm. Well, you got to make sure that you got a pair. Because when you come to Christ and he indwells you, he gives you those spiritual binoculars. And with those spiritual binoculars, you're able to see past all the issues that you have with the creditors, with the doctors, with the other issue, the people around you, all the stuff that goes on in life. You can see with those spiritual binoculars even past the grave and into eternity. And those spiritual binoculars give you a bigger perspective of life that allows you to see beyond all the ups and downs of this world. And so when you understand what the Bible says about you, you can avoid the pride that comes from comparing yourself with others, and to understand that God loves you and he has, as Billy Graham said, a wonderful plan for your life. As a matter of fact, more than just this life, but into eternity. But also notice in verse 7, if you skip down into verse 7, he says there, "For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" I need you to understand that that it is a daily reminder. Following Jesus, this journey with him, is a daily reminder that you depend on God, that everything you have. And so the text asks us the question, what do you have that you didn't receive? You know, you came into this world naked, and guess what? You're going out naked. There's some people that want to get buried in their Cadillacs and all that stuff. You can't take any of that stuff with you. You received it, and you're going to leave it right here. You came in without anything, and everything you have is a gift. Now, can you imagine a baby? Think about this. Imagine a baby, if he could talk, starting to lay in his crib and bragging about this beautiful little rattle that's in their hand. And what a great nook is in my mouth. And bragging about, well, I got this, and look at your rattle. You know? Well, you would quickly tell that baby, listen, everything you have is a gift. That you didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. There's nothing you did for it. It's a gift. And so we would remind that baby that bragging is not what we should be doing while we're receiving these gifts. And for us today, bragging sidesteps the fact that everything we have is by the grace of God. The food you eat in the morning is by the grace of God. All of that is by the grace of God. Just like the baby, gifts come from their parents. But for all of us, we need to understand that everything we have and everything we enjoy, it comes from God. And guess what? He could cut it off at a moment's notice. And so we need to not brag. And in fact, if you go back to John chapter 15 and verses 4 and 5, let's understand the analogy there, because John, in his gospel, relays the words of Jesus, that as Jesus taught that we are branches and he's the vine. For me, I just love that analogy that Jesus gives, that we are branches on a vine. Because how many of you know that branches don't have their own roots? Branches don't develop their own resources. Branches depend 100% on the vine that they're connected to. Are you following me? And so branches can't brag about the green leaves that are on them. They can't brag about the fruit that's developed on them. They understand that, if they could understand, they need to understand that they are totally dependent on the vine. And you and I today need to understand that we are totally dependent on God. He's the vine. Every breath we take, we need to say, thank you, Jesus. Every time, you know, I don't understand how some people struggle with the concept of giving thanks for their food. Because every egg that you fry is a gift from God. Every time you wake up in the morning, you need to understand everybody didn't wake up this morning. And we need to give thanks to God. We are just branches on the vine. You didn't do it. You're like that baby in the crib, bragging about what they have. They love their little onesie. It makes no sense at all. We need to thank God. So as a branch, there's no room for pride over what you have. All praise needs to go to the Lord. You know, there's a story about George Whitefield, who was an evangelist back in the 18th century. And he invited the Duchess of Buckingham to come hear him. And she replied, listen to this. "It is monstrous to be told that you have a heart as sinful as the common wretches that crawl the earth." And she went on to say, "This is highly offensive and insulting. I cannot but wonder that you should relish such sentiments that are at variance with high rank and good breeding." She didn't want anybody to tell her that she's a sinner, that she's dependent on God. And some of us, you know, we might look at that and sounds, oh, that's pretty snobbish. But the reality is that some of us, we have that same attitude in our hearts. I don't need God. You know, why should I thank him for what he's doing for me? I work 40 hours this week. You know, I earn what I have. And we have that same snobbish attitude. Following Jesus, however, is a humbling journey, which reminds us that we are only branches and that we have nothing except the grace of our vine. And we have no roots or rights of our own. We have only the grace that is given to us by God. But look down at verses 9 and 10. Let me show you something else. Verses 9 and 10 says, "For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored." And so I need you to understand that following Jesus is a journey that will cause you to be disrespected by men. It will cause you to be disrespected by men. Paul describes his journey here following Jesus as one being condemned, as a spectacle to the world, as fools for Christ's sake. Have you ever felt like everybody's looking at you as a fool? Have you ever felt as though, you know, people think that you're like out there because you stand up for Christ? The fact of the matter is that if you name the name of Jesus on your job, in your community, wherever you are, if you stand up for Jesus, people are going to consider you to be a little off. Is there a witness in the house? But we need to be able to understand that we're not alone. The Apostle Paul, in fact, all the apostles, they ended up being martyred because of their faith. Christians down throughout the ages have given their lives because of their faith. And we need to, while we don't suffer that way here in this country, the fact of the matter is we need to be willing to put ourselves out there to have somebody sometimes say, "Well, he's one of those," and experience that kind of rejection. So Paul describes his journey as being condemned and filled with persecution. You know, I remember the first few times as a teenager that I was asked to speak on street meetings, on the sidewalk, and even in those early days, the first few times, I really felt a little awkward. I mean, that wasn't cool at all to be, you know, out there on the street, people looking at you, you know, and you're out there trying to share the gospel, and people like, "Well, who are these people?" You know, you think about the people in the subway with the megaphones and all that kind of crazy stuff that goes on. You could be like plugged in and considered one of those. And so I had a very difficult time being out there. But, you know, when you see people respond to prayer, when you see young people giving their lives to Christ, when you begin to realize that you're doing the most important task ever, sharing God's love with others, then it becomes a place where you can resist that and deal with the rejection because of the results. And ever since those early days of street meetings and embarrassing moments, I've come to love to preach outdoors now. And in fact, outside, I do a lot of crusades in different countries, and where you have hundreds of people out there and you're preaching the gospel and you're seeing people come to Christ. I relish now the opportunity to go outdoors, get in the face of people, not because you all are, you know, this is like preaching to the choir. But you get out of the four walls and into the communities and in front of people who are skeptical, that's when you're standing up for Christ. And Paul is saying here that when you do that, there are good things that happen, but you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be rejected. And we need to understand that standing up for Christ among people that would never enter the doors of the church is both humbling and exciting. And so we need to follow along that journey, even though it's a humbling experience. We have to be able to get past the opinions of the world in order to walk with Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I think that for a lot of, not Monco Bible Fellowship folk, I'm talking about the other Christians. We have to get past the hesitancy to stand up and be counted for Christ. We have to get past the pride that holds us back sometimes and allows us to be a witness to the world. Not everybody's going to pat you on the back. You're going to be called names. You'll be looked down on. You'll be talked about. You'll be seen as foolish. But the fact of the matter is that it's an important task that we have. And what you need to remember is that following Jesus is a humbling journey, but it's also a significant journey. One more thing, let me show you. Verses 11 to 13. Well, actually, two more things, but this one first. Verses 11 to 13. It says in verse 11, "To the present hour we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless, and we labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure, being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now." Following Jesus is a humbling journey that is filled with persecution. It's filled with persecution. And so we are so blessed in this country that most of us have been spared the severe, humbling persecution that many Jesus followers around the world are experiencing. You know, we don't know what persecution is in this country. It is so easy for us to name the name of Jesus, and maybe somebody will look at you a little scant. You know, but we don't know what real persecution is. I was in India teaching a group of pastors in India, and here's, you know, a couple hundred pastors in this church, and I'm teaching them, and then in comes this guy, bloody, beaten up, staggering into the church, and it caused a little furor. They went in to help him and, you know, help him get situated. And after the session, I found out that he had to walk through some radical Hindu areas in order to get to the conference we were having. And by doing that, he put his life on the line. And sure enough, some of those radicals got a hold of him and beat him up and left him for dead. But he was able to get up and after they left and make his way to the conference. We don't know anything about that here. But there are a whole lot of countries where just naming the name of Jesus is putting your life on the line. But I want to suggest to you that when you know what God has done for you, when you understand that everything you have comes from Him, when you appreciate and you have a heart of gratitude for the grace of God, the salvation that He's given, the forgiveness of sins, when you appreciate that, you're willing to put your life on the line for Him. And there are Christians all over the world who are doing just that. While we are lazy in our little comfort zone, afraid to even name the name of Jesus in front of people, there are people out there in the world who are putting their life on the line. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's a challenge. The Apostle Paul is saying that following Jesus is a humbling experience that's filled with persecution. And I'll say that if you have never received any rejection, then you are not standing up for God. But I don't mind being one of those, because it's one of those that Jesus is coming for when He comes. You may be defamed and talked about like the filth of the earth, the off-scouring. That's what's scraped off the plate for the garbage. But Paul encourages us that through it all, we can endure. I love that song that Andre Crouch made so famous. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. If I could sing, I would sing. But I don't want to mess you up this morning. But I need you to hear what I'm saying. That following Jesus is a humbling experience, but that it is the winning way. It is the way to victory. It is the way not only to a meaningful relationship with God, but victory right now down here on this earth. And if we're willing to follow Him, regardless of what other people say, regardless of what your friends say, regardless of what your family says, just follow Jesus. It's not always going to be easy, but it will always see you through.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are grateful for our broadcast, you can play a significant part in keeping it available in your community and beyond. We rely on the prayerful support of friends like you who will join hands with us. Thank you for remembering this ministry and all the people we are reaching with God's Word. If you'd like to express your support, contact us today. You can call us at 215-361-8111. Again, that's 215-361-8111. You can also donate online at our website, gogfministries.org. Or you can mail your tax-deductible gift to our offices at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA, 19446. Your monthly gift will help us to fulfill our mission of planting churches, preparing leaders, and proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears.